because there's still a lot there. And as Debbie told me the other day, honey, you're always saying there's a lot there. Well, there is. Romans 9 through 11 are heavy theological chapters, and a lot of meat there and a lot to it. We have come upon the time of year when people begin thinking about gifts, giving things to one another, and such like as that. And people put up lights. We see lights all around us and in various homes around the city. And people put ornaments. They get ornaments so they can put up on a tree. And people look for that in regards to that this time of year. Many look for that perfect tree. The perfect tree in their eyes in which they can decorate with the ornaments that they have and lights. Many look for that perfect tree in which it's going to stand out. And to them, in their eyes, and hopefully they think in their eyes of their family, it's a perfect tree. And many of them spend a lot of money on the tree. Do they not? I remember years ago, my sister lived in Hawaii. She lived there for many years, and she moved back from Hawaii after her husband died and to take care of my mom before she passed. And I'll never forget my sister saying that in Hawaii, you know, they don't have evergreen trees as such as we do out here. You know, the trees are numerous. But in Hawaii, they don't have that. So what do they do for Christmas season? They ship the trees over to Hawaii. And I'll never forget, even years ago, as much as 20, 30 years ago, my sister telling me that over in Hawaii, when you get a Christmas tree, $10 a foot. She said now it's up to $20 a foot. So you get a 6-foot tree, you know, at $20 a foot. And to me, a 6-foot tree is a small tree. Debbie can tell you that whenever we would have a tree for the kids, I would get one that you know, we go out in the mountains and get one for nothing, you know, except for maybe for the cost of the permit to go up and get it. But $20 a foot. So you can imagine that at 6 foot, that's $120, isn't it? For a tree that you're going to put up for how long? What's that? Yeah, or just just a few weeks. See, and then you do what with the tree? You throw it out. You give it to like the Boy Scout troop or what have you that are collecting them. So many people look forward to that. And they look forward to the time when they're going to celebrate with friends and family, gather around that tree with gifts, open them up, and so forth and that. The time to what has been come to be called Christmas Day. But you know, many will give no thought to the reason for the season. To the reason for that day. Of course, many won't even call it that because they don't believe. Whilst on the other hand, many do know the reason as we do and will celebrate accordingly. And we all know that from reading the scriptures, there's nowhere in the scriptures that tell us that we need to celebrate the birth of Christ, is there? What does it tell us to celebrate and to remember? Isn't it what we just did? That's it. However, I'm not against Christmas and people celebrating it all. However, in line with that, this morning, I think that we need to consider and look at a tree. To look at what is the most important tree of all. A tree that one can't put lights on. You can't put ornaments on it. You can't decorate it and so it shows forth to everybody and they can all see how beautiful and stuff that it is. And you know what else? It's a tree that you can't even buy. You can't even buy it. Oh, it cost. It's a precious tree. The most precious tree in all the world. But you can't buy it. And you can't look at it and see that it's all wonderful and great in that. For this tree, the most important tree of all, is not visible. Not to the naked eye, anyway. And you know something else? It's a tree, but it doesn't look like a tree. Because this tree, as we all know trees have branches, don't they? At least they should have branches. And some of our trees out here, we look around, we have huge branches. Wonderful branches. But in this important tree that we're going to consider this morning from Romans 11, it has beautiful branches as well. But no useless branches. So let's look at this. Let's consider this in line with this time of year. It's found in the text of Romans chapter 11, beginning with verse 17. Paul, like the many of the apostles, like the Lord himself, and like many of the Lord's prophets, likes to use pictures, metaphorical pictures. And he does that here. Beginning with verse 17, Paul says, now, this is not in relation. When he says in verse 16, if the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also, and if the root is holy, the branches are too. People put 16 and 17 together and say Paul is talking about the same thing. Well, no, he's not. He's talking about a root that is holy and branches that have two, yes, in verse 16. Now, it's not that it doesn't relate to verse 17, he does. But he's talking about a completely different thing. He says, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, emphatic, in the Greek, that's the word you is emphatic there, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, it is not you. He said, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity. But to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. See what we need to consider this morning? You see what Paul is saying? Paul's talking about the most important tree of all. And he uses the metaphor of an olive tree. Let's look at the meaning of the olive tree. That most important tree. The olive tree represents God's people. It represents God's people in a general sense. And that olive tree includes, and we must not forget this, it includes both Old Testament Israel ethnic Israel, the nation of Israel. But what else does it include? The olive tree, most important tree of all, includes Old Testament Israel, but it also includes New Testament Israel, which is made up of Jews and Gentiles, the Goyim. But all of us here this morning are the Gentile, the Goyim. So the olive tree is made up of that. Old Testament Israel and New Testament Israel. This tree, this is why it is the most important tree of all, which people need to understand. Because this tree was the instrument, not a literal tree now, mind you, one we can see with the naked eye, but this tree was the instrument by which God was working out his salvation strategy. But get this. As a tree has branches, some of those branches remained on the tree, but some were broken off. Now, this is another thing we must understand. The Old Testament Israel, while it makes up the tree, The Old Testament Israel is not the tree itself. The nation of Israel is not the tree itself. Old Testament Israel, which is part of the tree, yes, but it is not the tree itself. And many people want to make it the tree, but it's not the tree itself, which is the church part of, see. Old Testament Israel is the root. That's what Paul says here. But his focus when you read what he's talking about here, his focus is not on the root. It's not on the root. Not on that. His focus is on the branches, which pertain to the root. Now, these branches, you see, of that tree, of that olive tree, most important tree of all. The branches are a new group. The most important branches are a new group. And what are those branches that are of that new group? Namely, it's the church. It's the New Testament people of God. It's you and I. Do you see that, what Paul's saying? We, the New Testament people of God, the church, we make up the most important tree of all. We are the branches. Thus, the branches are the New Testament spiritual Israel, while the root is Old Testament ethnic Israel. And a tree cannot survive, will not prosper, and the branches will not grow and get all those leaves and be a wonderful tree without the root. In order to have the tree, you have to have the root, right? Well, that's what Paul is saying. The root is Old Testament Israel. It is the ethnic nation of Israel. And there are no, the root, but the branches of this most important tree, of this olive tree, there's no unbelievers on those branches. But in order to be a branch, you have to understand the root and how that root was watered and cultivated so it became the tree. See, what was the importance of the root? That's what Paul talks about in Romans 9. The root is Old Testament Israel. That tree is Old Testament Israel, the nation of Israel. And God, what was God doing with that, you see? What was the purpose? What's the purpose of the root? So the tree will grow and it will have branches. But what was the purpose of the root? Go back to Romans 9. God chose the nation of Israel to be the root of that important tree because God chose the nation of Israel, those people to be his people from which the Messiah would come. They were chosen for a purpose, for a service. But it didn't mean they were saved. Didn't mean they had salvation. It meant that God was using them to bring the Messiah, to bring the Christ into the world. That's the purpose of the root. And many people miss that. But there are no unbelievers on the branches. Now, we also have to be clear on this as well as far as this tree is concerned. The most important tree of all. And that is this. While that tree has branches, limbs and branches, what Paul is saying here in these verses 17 through 22 is this. The church is not the entire tree. And many people want to think that, yes, it is. The church has replaced the root. No. The tree is the result, and the branches are, is the result of it growing out of the root. We need to be clear on this, that the church is not the entire tree. It is only the branches growing from the root. It is part of the tree. This is Paul's specific warning to the Gentile Christians of his day, to the church at Rome. It is a warning to us as well today, to Gentile Christians. Because look at what Paul said in verse 17. We have what is known as in Greek it's called a henna clause. It's a purpose or result clause. If then, notice what he says. If conditional, it's also conditional. If some of the branches were broken off, and you, emphatic, speaking of Gentile Christians, being a wild olive branch, were grafted in among them, the cultivated olive tree, and you were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, of God's strategy. Paul is saying here, and this is here's the specific warning, he says, verse 18. Now, literally in the Greek, he uses a present imperative tense, which means when our translation says, do not be arrogant, Paul is basically saying, stop being arrogant. Paul is saying that this action is going on among the Gentiles in the church of his time. And Paul is saying, stop it. Quit being arrogant. Quit being thinking that you are superior to the Jewish Christians. That message for in there for us today and in the church as well. See, Paul is saying, he says, stop it, and that it is going on now. What you have in verse 17 and 18 is really a deliberate understatement. Because indeed it was the majority of the Jews which were broken off. who were unbelievers. And when he says among them, that refers to the remnant. That refers to those who do believe, who are Jewish Christians. And then he says, arrogant? He says, stop being arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, that's why that's a deliberate understatement, because Paul says it's going on, so stop it. But if you're not doing it, he says, but if you are arrogant, remember, it's not you, the Gentile Christians, who support the root. The root supports you. In other words, Paul is saying here, and literally, what it says in verse 18, literally, of the root of the fatness. And again in verse 18, Paul uses that present imperative. So what's happening is Paul is writing. Remember what Jesus said? John 4:22. Jesus said salvation comes from where? From the Gentiles? From in the world? What did Jesus say? Salvation is from who? Salvation is from the Jews, he said. What did Jesus mean by that? Simply this. The root. The root. Salvation is from the Jews because Jesus was of the tribe of who? Of where? The tribe of the Lion of Judah. That's why Jesus is known as the Lion and the Lamb. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Remember the prophecy? If you go back to Genesis, the last chapters of Genesis, the prophecy that Jacob gave for his boys, for his sons, for his tribes, for the people that would come from him, he gave a prophecy of Judah. The Lion, Jesus, is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So Jesus said salvation comes from the Jews because he said, I'm bringing it. I'm not salvation. But see, the root starts with the Jews. God's strategy, his plan, but to use his people for service. So, he says, you will say then, emphatic, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. These unbelieving people, these unbelieving Jews were done away with so that I might be put on. Look at me. Look how great I am. And Paul was saying, don't think that way. Don't think of yourself as superior in that way. You see, what is the condition here? So remember, it's not you who support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in? Quite right. Those branches were broken off. The unbelieving Jews, that's what he's talking about. They were broken off for their unbelief. He said, do not be conceited, but fear. So what's the condition, you see? Why were they broken off? because of their unbelief. The condition and the answer to that condition is faithfulness and remaining in the cultivated tree. That's why this is the most important tree of all. You and I. Young Stuart, when he was immersed last Lord's Day, he's now part of that branch, part of that tree. But in order to remain that branch, if there's a condition, we must be faithful. That's what he's talking about. To remain on that cultivated tree. So then in verses 20 through 22, Paul gets to the heart of the matter here. He says, quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief. But you, the Gentile Christians, you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. In other words, literally, in some of your translations, there's a little margin off to the side and tells you what that is, both in the New International Version and specifically in the New American Standard. And the New English Bible has it right. Instead of putting it in the margin, they put it literally what it says. Literally in the Greek, what it says is, by faith, you hold your place. So Paul is saying, it is by your faith, your faithfulness, this is the condition, that you remain on the tree. That you remain the branch on the tree. It's by your faith. And it's a choice. Not something God gives to you, but it's something that you choose. The word order in the Greek follows that, meaning by faith you hold your place. But then Paul says, okay, so if by faith you hold your place on on that tree, that you're the branch. And then Paul says, do not be conceited. In other words, Paul says, don't think more higher than you are. Don't think that you're better than others just because you've been grafted onto the tree. It's like what he said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, when he says, but fear. In chapter 10, verse 31 of Hebrews, it said, it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Well, now, indeed, that would be a terrifying thing, would it not? For those who do not believe. For those who continue or do not continue to believe. Indeed, Paul is talking here in these verses of 20 through 22 here. He's speaking that a person, whether you are a Jewish Christian or you're a Gentile Christian, you can fall from the tree. You can fall from grace. You can lose your salvation. Paul is using an argument here from the greater to the lesser. And in verse 22 is a conditional sentence. I know that they tried to, there are some who tried to take the conditions away and say, well, Paul didn't really mean that, or it really doesn't say that. That's being dishonoring not only God's revelation, but it's being dishonoring to Paul if one says that. That's like double talk. For what he says is, behold then the kindness and severity He said in verse 21, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he won't spare you either. The natural branches are the Jewish unbelievers. And if he will not spare them, he will not spare you either, he says. He said, in essence, Paul is saying the Jewish Christians, they have to keep remaining believed too, just as you do. And so then verse 22, he says, behold then the kindness, God's kindness. Yes, he's kind. But also he said, behold the severity of God. As he said in Hebrews 10:31, what it is to fall into the hands of the living God. But to you, kind God's kindness, get this condition. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Paul makes it conditional. Paul nowhere says that, oh, they weren't really part of the tree after all. They weren't really part of a branch after all. They didn't really believe. For one to say that, you have to ignore what he says. And you have to do a kind of a double talk and twist it to where it ought. That's not really what he means. He means this. No, read literally what he says. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And he says, verse 23, and they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. What Paul is saying there, if my people, if the Jews do not continue in their unbelief, but they do believe, they can be grafted in again. Paul is saying, going all the way back to his argument in the beginning of the chapter, God has not rejected his people completely. Paul is saying that they too, yes, they can believe. But you see what Paul is saying here in verses 22 and 23 is a person standing before God, whether you're Jew or Gentile, Paul is saying that your standing before God is conditional. It's based upon his way, his condition. Not man's. But again, it is our choice. It's like what Paul says in Colossians 1:23. If indeed, get this, conditional, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation unto heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. If indeed you continue in the faith, Paul's talking to Christians there, not to those who aren't. Conditions. So then in verses 23 and 24, though, he gives words of hope. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, see what Paul says there to the Gentile Christian. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will those who are the natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree. So what is Paul saying? This is the second application of his metaphor, and we'll stop with that today. It goes back to the unbelieving Jews. Again, we have a conditional sentence here. Paul is saying, God has not abandoned the Jewish people, that rather he is willing to receive them again, to be grafted onto that this most important tree on his conditions. Thus we have another if-then clause. Verse 24 reinforces what Paul said in verse 23. Again, it's an argument from the greater to the lesser. What does he mean here, wild olive tree? Speaking to the Gentile Christians. Just this. He is saying by nature in those days, and even in our day as well, those who are not part of that most important tree, they belong to the ungodly world. That's what he means. Meaning that they learned, that they grew up, they learned and they lived by an unbiblical worldview. People today, brothers and sisters, they have learned and they live, even today we see this, they live by an unbiblical worldview. And as a result of that, when we come to Christ, that worldview should change, must change. When we come to Christ, our outlook changes. We're going to get more into that when we get to Romans 12. So this is so important. And it's not taught today, and that's why we have so many problems in churches today. And why so many people do not believe what this says. And it's why so many people do not adhere to this. Because they are striving to live like they are part of that most important tree, but they want to live as if they are of the wild tree, of the unbiblical world view. It's like Brother Jack Cottrell says, thus when a Jew is converted to Christ, he is being attached to his true roots. He is taking his natural place among the branches, the church. That were the divinely intended goal of the Israelite nation all along. What could be more natural than that? But for us, for Gentiles, it wasn't natural. Because they didn't grow up that way. They didn't learn of God that way as they did. That's why Paul told the Jews back in his day, you have no excuse. Again, we have here what is known as a greater to lesser argument. And in the Greek, it is God is saying here, from his side, there's no obstacle. God is saying, I haven't put obstacles in your way to be part of this most important tree. Even for the Jews, I haven't put obstacles in their way for them not to believe, not to be put back into that tree. I haven't put obstacles in the way. Who has put the obstacles in the way? Paul says they have done it themselves. People do that today themselves. People, there's only one important tree in all of life. This is what Paul is talking about. We're going to get more into that next week. There is only one tree, not several. There is only one chosen people, not several. There is only one way of salvation, not several. Not your pick and choose. There's only one way, and that's God's way. There's only one way to be part of that most important tree. And it's God's way, His strategy. And we're going to get into that more next week. But God is saying, I'm not putting the obstacles in your way. People put those obstacles in their way themselves, just as they do today. And they're doing, again, as I said, they're doing that today. Let's stand, we're going to sing, "For God So Loved the World." That's what it's all about. See, the issue we have to ask ourselves each and every day of our lives, are we, as the branch, are we still connected to the branch? Are we remaining faithful? That's the conditions. Excuse me. God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, from die on Calvary's tree.